Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about a touch of football can get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast, a podcast about your Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens. And on this podcast, we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. We are available on iTunes and Stitcher, so make sure you tell your friends. Joining me, as always, we got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, folks, how you doing, everybody? Fresh from the lines, then. Hey, I might have a few scratches on me, but we made it out alive with a big win.
That's right. You were in Detroit. You were there for the game on Monday night. And I heard you didn't even take a plane back to Baltimore. You just had Justin Tucker kick you back to Baltimore.
That's very true, man. He just booted me right back to Baltimore. That boy kicked some football through there, Kenny.
Oh, man, this guy is amazing. 61 yards. I mean, he upset everybody. I love that that gif of the Lions sideline as they're like, oh, he's not going to make it, he's not going to make it. Oh, my God, he did, and everybody's just in shock. But, man, this guy, he really saved the Ravens on Monday. Before we even get into the game, man, I just want to talk to you about the experience in Detroit. I've never been to a game in Detroit. I've visited the city many times, but I've never been to a sporting event. What was the atmosphere like in Detroit? How does it compare to M&T Bank?
Nothing compares to the bank. I mean, it's indoor versus outdoor, say that. Never been in a dome. I mean, obviously, you're an avid Cats fan. I know we do. No, I don't do what the fuck, but you do, and obviously I'm an avid listener. But I'm saying I've been in a Caps game where it's been loud there. A friend of mine's been in a Capitals game where it was a playoff game. It's loud in an arena. I mean, that was only, 14,000-15,000 people. You're talking filling, I don't know what the capacity is to Ford Field, but I know M&T Bank 70, so we could use 70,000 people in a dome. That's loud. I heard people that said they watched the game on TV. Obviously, a lot of fans did because they didn't make the trip out. But they said they showed it on TV. That place was near 120 decibels. I'm telling you what, bro. That place was loud. Like, I've never heard of a venue that loud. I've ever been a part of that. And obviously at M&T Bank, it's a little different because it's outdoors. But I've heard M&T really loud. I've been a part of it. But to be a part of an opposing crowd or opposing team and their fan base and to be in there not even yelling and just sitting there being quiet, it's just different because you're not part of the yelling and screaming. I was part of the just standing and watching. So it was really weird not to be a part of that. And obviously, I'll be like that on Sunday when we play the Patriots. But we'll get to that a little later on. But it just being there, I mean, the atmosphere is great. And Detroit fans, I mean, I do have good things to say. I mean, it's not like being at Pittsburgh or going to New England and a bunch of fans are giving you crap about this and that. I mean, you heard the whole, go back to Baltimore, Ray Lewis sucks, Ravens suck, but no one really, like, started arguments with me, no one gave me a hard time, and, a couple fans were like, so boo, but it wasn't like, I mean, yeah, obviously, they're just like any other time of work, like when I was at the Vikings game, obviously, I'm like, hey, you know, hey, you know, I give them crap, but at the end of the day, I'm nice about it, so, I mean, you got your one and two drunk a-holes who are, you know, a few men, and like, you know, giving you a hard time heckling you, but, no, it was clean for the most part. I tell you this, it was hilarious. The one guy, he kept giving me crap every time I kept walking up downstairs to go to concession. I shut him up by this. He kept saying, Ray Lewis Sabu, and the same guy, because I saw him. So I turned to him, I had my Ray Lewis Super Bowl jersey on. So I turned and pointed to the Super Bowl emblem and held up two fingers. I said, how many of you guys got here? And I just kept on walking. So, I mean, yeah, exactly. So I'm like, you can say we suck. I know it's all fanfare and hoopla, but I mean, at the end of the day, do we really suck when we got two titles and your team's at zero? I mean, I'm not one to do that because I hate it when Pittsburgh fans talk about the past and their rings, but obviously we're titled down because we have two of them and they're zero down, so we have every right to talk like that. But it was great. I mean, you had the fan base give me a hard time at the end of the game. You know, their fans are like, you know, beside themselves. Like, obviously, we've been on the losing end of those kind of games, so, you know, I knew how they felt. You know, how many times I've been at, you know, when we had the AFC Championship years ago and Billy kind of missed the kick to go in overtime. How many times did you know, it happened this year. You know, Buffalo beat us by three. Just a lot of people, you know, hit a game winner against us, and we've been on the losing end where we're hanging our head like, man, we could have won that game. It happened. So, I mean, the atmosphere was great, and getting there was great. I tell you what, Brandon, it was hilarious. I was lined up at BWI Airport on Monday to get ready to leave. The flight was on time, so I wasn't worried about that. There was a bunch of Ravens fans. I kept sitting there, and I seen them trickling in. I'm like, is everybody going to games? There was guys from Dundalk. There was guys that watched games from Jimmy's Famous the Seafood there. There was guys from Timonium. I got some good friends on Facebook now from the camaraderie. I sat next to a couple of Ravens fans on a flight that they actually said they go to every away game.
Wow.
They go to all 16 games. Yeah. He was showing me pictures. The guy, one guy had a full tattoo sleeve of nothing but Ravens, like the Super Bowl logos. Played like a Raven. He had Ray Lewis's face. Like, there was some hardcore stuff there. And it was great because, like, even from Baltimore, there was Lions fans on the plane. So, but it was dominant. Like, the back half of the plane was Baltimore. We hooped it up. And then we got off the plane. Obviously, you know, and even just me describing this part, it doesn't do it justice. I posted pictures on my Facebook feed. But when we got to Detroit, my buddy, he's a Lions fan, so he picked me up. And, you know, he picked me up. We went at the hotel. Get this. The hotel itself, I literally thought I stayed in a 10-star hotel. Guys, look this up. And Brandon, look it up, too. You won't even believe it. I stayed at what's called the GM Marriott. It's the General Motors Marriott. When you look at this place, it looks like, you know, I don't know if there's any Lord of the Rings fans out there, but you know, like, what the two towers look like?
Right.
It was almost like that. Like, these two big, tall, and I'm not compared to World Trade Center because it wasn't that big, but, it was like two long towers, like standing next to each other, and in the center was like the GM. It was like a triple, like, tower hotel. And it was funny because when we were driving downtown Detroit, my buddy who picked me up, he said we were going to Marriott, but he booked a hotel, didn't know what it was. And on the top of the GM thing, it said Marriott. And I joked, I said, this one looks like a world-class hotel. That'd be cool if we stayed in here. And the GPS brought us around the block. And when we were in front of the Marriott, the valet, we looked up. I'm like, there's no way we're staying here. He's like, this is the hotel. And we went to check in. I'm like, dude, we're here. So we stayed in some sick hotel, and get this. Canada was right across the river. Detroit's right on the lake. Canada was right across the bridge, and there was a Caesar's Palace right outside our viewpoint. And I took a picture of that. So it was pretty cool to see, like, there's a Caesar's Palace right there in Canada, man.
Yeah, a little bit of Detroit trivia. I actually stayed there at that same Marriott when I was staying there for work a year or two ago. And
so you know what it looks like.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty amazing. I was there for because I used to work for a car show about the 100th anniversary, I think, of Chevy or something like that.
Yeah.
And they told me a little bit of trivia is that Detroit is the only city where you actually have to go south to get into Canada. So they have like a bridge or a tunnel or something that takes
it's
you
right
into,
there.
Yeah, it takes you into Canada, but you have to go a little bit south of Detroit to get into it. So they said that's one of their little historical things about Detroit. You have to go south to go north. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I saw the bridge sign. It said Bridge to Canada, and I was like, how far was Canada? And even I heard fans with their accents. There's some Canadians around. So
yeah.
I have a little bit of culture. The city was great. I mean, it was funny, too, because, I mean, I know I'm jumping around here, but after the game, thank God for Dooming Trees. After the game, it was snowing its butt off, and there was like 3 inches on the ground, man.
Oh, wow.
Like, yes, it was snowing up there.
Well, you should be used to that, given the fact that we stayed the whole time for the Vikings game in the snow. You ought to be used to getting out of a football game, a Ravens game, and there being snow on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, I even said that. I said, I don't think he would have made that kick in the snow like that. And it was cool because, like, the way I was sitting, I have almost, like, the same angle as I do at the stadium that where our seats are, like, corner end zone, but it wasn't really quite that corner. So, when, you know, I'm going to get to the game, obviously, there's a lot to talk about, but just when Justin Tucker hit the game winner, that field goal was towards me, and I was on the side, so I didn't really see it go in. I couldn't tell, so all I had to do was look at the refs, and I'm not kidding, bro. This is my experience. My reaction when the refs put their arms up, I basically put mine up too, like a field goal, and I was like, he got it. He got it. You can probably hear me because, like, I'm telling you what, I know it's sometimes on TV it's great to hear, and a lot of my friends said it was just great to hear, but, and I know people that were in New England who, you know, said when we beat them, the crowd just, like, not even New England, but I knew some friends who went to Denver last year when Jacoby Jones caught that ball. It was, like, equivalent like that. Like, the place was rocking, and as you know, it was just hush. And like, and I remember Ray Lewis saying that in America's Game. He's like, you can hear a rat piss on cotton, but you know, when the stadium got quiet, now I've been a part of that. I knew what it's like to do where it was like 115, 120 decibels of fans screaming. Justin Tucker kicks that kick, and all of a sudden it's just a quiet, moan and groan hush. And then you can hear a few, you can hear the Ravens fans. You can hear them. And I'm like, and I'm basically just screaming, hey, guy. Oh, my God. And the guy behind me goes, are you effing kidding me? And like, everybody's like, yeah. So, of course, it's a typical reaction. And the guy's like, oh, my God, we suck. And no. And you hear the fans like, no, oh, my God, that can't happen. And it's just, it was just, I couldn't even believe it. And then after the game, you know, I know we'll cover the game, man. It's just so exciting, Brandon, because it was funny because, like, there was a guy. I mean, the Ravens fans were sprinkled out. I actually saw a lot, like, on the street. I saw a lot in my hotel, a lot around, even on the flight back, and even in the flight in, I saw a lot of Ravens fans in the airports. But it's, I guess they were sprinkled around the stadium. But, like, there was two in my section next to me. There was one in another section next to me. I was the only Ravens fan in my section, believe it or not, the only one in a whole section. So they were sprinkled out, but the guy next to me, he had a Flacco jersey on, and he had a Justin Tucker sign that was hand-drawn.
Yeah.
And I wish I had taken a picture of it, but I guess in the excitement, it's just really crazy because obviously with the excitement of the game ending, things got a little crazy because it was like we're talking and you can't believe it. But he had a poster he drew that said, are you not entertained? And had Justin Tucker with his hands raised. So it was pretty cool, and the girl next to up above in my section next to me, we were waiting to come down a concourse after the game, and she went behind me and hugged me. She's like, oh, my God, can you believe it? I said, babe, after last week's game in the snow and the Steelers game in this game, I said, I don't even think we won this one yet. I said, wait till it sinks in. So I was, like, joking with her, and everybody was just like, I can't believe that happened. And it was just, like, to hear the fans, and then, like, I'm trying to get out of stadium in one piece before I get beat up. And I have to share an experience because you know me and dressed up with the red eyes. I dressed the full garb. Eye black, red contacts, shoulder pads, football gloves. But here's the funny part. I didn't even wear like anything gear-wise like cold because it was an indoor stadium, so it was pretty warm in there, obviously. And I got startled coming out. I really thought I'm not kidding you, Brandon. I thought I was going to get jumped by a girl. And I hate to say that on air, but like I'll be honest with you.
Is it a bad thing if you get jumped by a girl?
No, I didn't, but I thought I was going to. I mean, anybody would have been startled, honestly, even if it happened to you. Well, I'm walking on the street, it's pouring down snow, and I get grabbed by a girl. I mean, she was petite, she was cute. I mean, obviously, her boyfriend was there, so I really couldn't, like, say, hey, let's go out and celebrate, but, you know, anyway, it's okay. She grabbed me and stands in front of me and was just like, and she goes, who do you think you are? So, like, I'm thinking, like, I didn't do anything, I'm minding my own business, and she has a serious look on her face. And she's shaking me. She's like, who do you think you are? I said, what the hell are you talking about? Like, I'm like, what are you talking about? And then she started joking with me. And then she goes, who do you think you are with your red eyes and come up here? And then she was, like, joking with me. But she was hammered, obviously. Her boyfriend was getting a chuckle, and I talked to him for a bit. They were good people, but she was messing with me. She wouldn't let me walk across the street. She's like, You can't walk across the street. The only line federal. I said she was giving me crap, but I mean, like I said, it was good camaraderie up there. The fans were great. Had nothing great things to say. And I even, a good story. I got to tell you this before we break down the game. I'm full of stories on road trips, man. Get this. We visited before I get to my visit on Tuesday on my way out. Get this. I didn't get a chance to get a picture with it because it was so quick, but we're in that hotel we're staying, right?
Right.
And we're in the lobby, and we went to go check out, and we brought our stuff in, and we were going to go into the lobby to eat breakfast. It was like 11 o'clock, like almost 11 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday. And we're sitting down. I've seen a guy with a Towson Tigers sweatshirt on representing. They're from the area, so we're getting, you know we're celebrating a Ravens win. Next thing I know, I'm walking in the lobby, and to go to the elevators, and the woman passes by me. She goes, go Ravens. And her husband goes, go Ravens. He held out his hand in a fist. Dude, he's got the Super Bowl ring on from last year.
Oh, wow. I'm not,
yeah, I posted a picture. Yeah. So I'm thinking, well, I was so excited because, I haven't had a picture taken with it one, but I believe it or not, I've actually held Jonathan Ogden's Super Bowl ring. When I did an autograph signing, I held his ring. So he let me put it on my finger, but I couldn't take a picture with it, obviously, for reasons. But I was so excited with this guy, I didn't take a picture with it on, but he let me you know, take a picture of it, which was great. So, and I don't think it was a player, because first off, I didn't recognize him, and obviously you know me. I recognize everybody.
Right.
And on the team, and he was a little older, and so was his wife, so I assumed he was official from the team, like maybe a executive or something, but because the whole team gets rings, even the cheerleaders, so I knew, and even the writers do, so everybody involved with the team gets a ring. But besides that, it was pretty cool. But here's the good part, and obviously I'm the only one who knows this because I was there, but it was crazy. This never happened. We went to, there was a casino, there was like three casinos in there, where there was this casino called Motor City Casino. It was pretty nice compared to Maryland Live here. It's like a two-story exotic casino. Well, we go there. I go on a new poker table, brand new table. I wanted seat 9 for Justin Tucker's number, okay?
All right.
So I drew seat 9. First hand I get, I have pocket aces. I was like, is this meant to be or what? So I was like, and of course everybody's giving me a hard time. So that means, other than that, then, you know, my flight got delayed. Thank God it was the flight from Detroit to Baltimore, not from Baltimore to Detroit. I would have had a cow and a half if I had to miss this game. But overall, there was nothing like being there. It was loud. And the first thing I have to say is breaking down a game is, holy wow, what a nail-biter, because I was going back and forth and stretching, and the guy next to me is like, what are you stressing for? You're playing the Lions. I was like, dude, we don't score in the red zone. We've gotten on the 6-yard line like twice. So I was like, obviously you don't know the Ravens. We cannot score in the end zone. And I gave him the whole joke, how do you keep Ravens out of your yard? Put a goalpost in it because we don't score touchdowns. It's just, and I mean, even I can admit that, because obviously we didn't and we won the game. So it's just pathetic, because, like, yeah, and segueing into covering the game, I want to touch on that too, is our red zone offense has to get better. If we're going to make a playoff run here, we have to finish when we're that close. Joe Flacco started on the 4-yard line with the offense, drove it all the way down to the other 6, and then had to kick a stupid 20-something yard field goal. We need to not do that, because obviously if we're playing the Patriots in the playoffs, we're playing the Broncos, we're playing the Chiefs, anybody we play, if we don't put 7 on the board, it's win or go home. So that has to happen. But yes, a lot of great things to say. Justin Tucker is freaking amazing. I didn't know how close that kick was until I saw the highlights on TV, but even the game winner was very, very close, and a couple of his field goals almost hit the goalpost, but he was money only, 6 for 6. What can I say, man? I mean, obviously you saw it on TV. I heard both Sandusky's radio call and Tirico's call of the game. That was exciting. So, I mean, what, obviously I've already shared what it's like there, but what was it like watching it on TV, and where did you go to watch it, Brandon?
I spent the game, I went to a place called Skipjack's on Bel Air Road. It's in Overly, and we actually left at halftime, and we went home because it's a Monday night game, it's such a late game, so I figured I was still going to watch it no matter what, but we left at halftime so we could kind of go home and just watch it at home. But the place that I was at was very, very angry at the offense, but, you know, it's a typical Ravens fan. You're screaming at the TV, and then you're cheering 2 seconds later because yep. They've done something else. That's just the way the Ravens are kind of built, that your emotions, you know, are on a roller coaster every game. But I do want to share this one story, and hopefully someone out there, if you're listening, hopefully you saw this or heard this as well. Josh, you know, when I go to games, I have a banner. It says "Clear Eyes, Full Hearts, Can't Lose," and I've been bringing that up a lot this season. And it's a big banner. You and I held it up at M&T Bank Stadium, and it's a great saying. It's from Friday Night Lights. It's a great show. If you haven't seen it, check it out as well. But I swear, I fell asleep in front of my TV after the game. I wake up at 3 o'clock and I go to turn my TV off. It's still on ESPN and they're talking about that Tucker field goal. And I swear, I don't know if it was in a weird dream state, but as that ball's going over, one of the commentators, I swear, said, "Look at that Justin Tucker field goal. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose." And I almost got my phone out to record it and, like, go back or whatever. But it was 3 in the morning, and I was tired, and I'm like, I probably didn't hear it. But if that is true, and anyone else heard that or can confirm that for me, I would be so happy to know that I'm not crazy and didn't hear that. But that's kind of the – let's do a little segue here, kind of go into the game. You know, Justin Tucker is amazing. After this game, I really wish I would have gotten one of his bobble legs at the Bowie Bay Sox game back in July. But that's a story for another podcast. but let's talk about this. I've brought it up many times this season. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. And the Ravens are known to kind of have these sayings. You know, John Harbaugh loves imagery. He loves telling stories. He loves getting the guys pumped up with these sayings. You know, no weapon. You know, Ray Lewis, that was a big one for him last year. It was no weapon will hold us or anything like that. But I feel like that's what this season really is like. It's clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. Because these guys, they have to take complete faith in the people next to them. I mean, Flacco, he was interviewed, and they're like, what do you have to say for yourself? You know, touchdowns on this game. And he was like, yeah, we didn't get any touchdowns, but we know Tucker's got this. We have full faith in him, and we're at least getting some points on the board. It might not be seven, but we know Tucker can do it no matter what the length of the field. We got him covered. We've seen him in practice. So I feel like, you know, having a full heart Flacco completely believing in his kicker, believing in his team, is a big part of this. You know, and having clear eyes, knowing exactly where you're going, having the confidence in yourself, like Justin Tucker has. I mean, he 61 yards is an amazing feat, and you can see him after that kick that he really he was like rushing the goalpost, kind of like saying go 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 go. And once he got it, he was so proud of himself, and he was making jokes after the game on ESPN talking about I hope I helped out your fantasy league and stuff like that. But that saying really, I think, sums up this season so far. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. And that was the end of the Vikings game. I mean, that was pure. That was off of a TV show the way that game ended. But the Lions game, I will say, the Ravens did a good job. They came out with a win. The Ravens definitely were disappointed, or not the Ravens, the Lions were definitely disappointed after that game, because that kind of pushes them out of the picture. The Ravens are still very much alive. There's all kinds of different things that these guys will be able to do going forward. There's depending on who's doing what and where on the team, on the other teams that are still in the race, that's really going to affect the Ravens. But This season is going to be, or the rest of the season, this game is really going to, it shows what the Ravens can do, but you're not going to be able to beat the Patriots with just kicks. You're not going to be able to do that with just field goals. You're not going to be able to do that. The last game in this season is the Bengals, and you're not going to be able to do that with just Justin Tucker. Justin Tucker is an amazing kicker. He is such a huge asset to this team. He's absolutely amazing, but you're up against the Lions. The Lions are a very different animal than the Patriots, and you need everybody to be on their game in these last two games. And the offensive line, they did not get it done against the Lions, and they need to look at that and they need to fix that, whatever problems is persisting with them, because that's the way it's going to work. The Patriots, you've seen what they can do up against like the Dolphins. Who would have imagined that game would have turned out the way it did? But the Patriots, you can never count them out. Like you were saying, the Patriots are beatable, da 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 da. And I think they are beatable. They absolutely are. We'll talk about that later. They are beatable, but at the same time, they're like the Ravens. They don't give up. You know, they don't just give up and you know, throw in the towel. They're going to fight till the very last second. So I think what this Lions game, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. This Lions game, what it really showed was the Ravens are a very good team. They can get into the playoffs. How far they get into the playoffs is still up in the air, because, yes, these guys are a great team. Yes, they get the work done, but they're still not a full football team. They're still not getting everything done they need to get done. We do have guys like Justin Tucker that will kind of help, you know, get them out of the hole that they dug themselves in. But against the Lions, it showed that the Ravens still have holes they got to fix. They still need to get things done the correct way. But at least the Ravens didn't give up. At least they didn't, throw in the towel. They played the whole game. And even though it was all the Justin Tucker show, it can't be like that every game.
No, it cannot. I mean, to each their own game. Each game writes its own script, I should say, is what I was trying to say. You look back on 2000, comparing 12, 13 years ago, we had a string of 21 straight quarters where this offense didn't score a touchdown, and this offense, meaning the Ravens offense, not this one, it can happen. I mean, and that was a championship team. We won seven straight games and went on to win four straight in the playoffs and the Super Bowl. All said, none. That's why I'm saying each season has its own story. Whether we score five touchdowns a game or five field goals, just win the game. There was a lot of backlash about this. Not only we're talking about it, but the local radio stations were filled with the same exact debate. And someone brought up a point that the Colts in the 2006 playoffs beat us here in Baltimore in the playoffs only on field goals, and then went on to score like 4 or 5 touchdowns a game and route to a Super Bowl championship. So it can happen even in the playoffs. You can win on just field goals. Each game's its own script. I'm going to say that again. Each game's its own script. You're going to hear me say that again and again. It's a story. It's a 60-minute story about what's going to happen between these two teams. Whether there's injuries, whether there's points scored, whether there's 100 total points scored, whether there's 15 total points scored, I don't care who kicks field goals, touchdowns, if there's 4 safeties in the game, if there's 5 defensive touchdowns, if there's 7 pick sixes, I don't care what combination. This is what I'm trying to talk about. We won it on Justin Tucker's leg. Now, maybe, and it's not only a different story every week, but a different hero. Maybe Flacco leads us on a game-winning drive. Maybe the defense stops Tom Brady with a pick on Sunday. Like, you know, obviously look what happened in the Super Bowl. Our offense put out a fire show on the first half in the Super Bowl last year. Then it was up to our defense in the second half to shut them out, and then they would have four down goal line stand. Each quarter, each possession is its own story, its own script. We don't know how it's going to play out. What ended up being huge in the Ravens game against the Lions is turnovers. We didn't turn a ball over at all. I mean, we had one fumble that was recovered by our own team, and we picked it off twice, and then the third time was the game-ending interception. So we did what we had to do. They went down and scored 7 real quick, and they didn't score 7 until the very last minute. I told my buddy, I said, they scored a touchdown on their first possession, and they scored a touchdown on their last possession. But what happens is we scored the most on our possessions. Yes, they were 3 points each, but you can see what 3 field goals and 2 touchdowns and a field goal did for them. It was only, 15 points, 16 points. We won 18 to 16. So you can just go to show you, everybody needs to stop reading into what's happening, but you're right. Our offense, on the flip side, needs to perform better and get touchdowns instead of field goals because they can't sustain that, especially going against the powerhouse teams at ASD, especially in the playoffs where it's one and done. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it can happen. I mean, we kick 3 field goals and we only hold them to a touchdown. It's, you know, the score's 9-7, we win. So we scored 3 times and they scored, once. It's just, you have to look at it in its own mindset. So, again, that's what I really wanted to say. I was really fired up about that this week when I got back to Baltimore and heard that arguments around. I mean, people are comparing, 2006, 2000 games. You can't each game, and you're going to hear it again. It's from stories. It's like this Sunday we play New England. Whatever happens in that game, we'll break it down. We'll break it down accordingly, and we'll move on from it. We'll go to Cincinnati and see how we fare. Win, lose, or draw. But again, I'm excited to see what happens. And the Ravens have won 4 straight. We were 4-6. Now we're 8-6. And someone even brought this up in a conversation. How, can the Ravens make another run? You get in a dance, anything's possible. But I look at it this way: things happen for a reason. And Jacoby Jones talked on this. The team goes through adversity. You remember last year we lost Ray Lewis and Ladarius Webb in the same game. We had a 4th and 29. We had that, and then Tucker Kittigan game winner in San Diego. We had the Mahi Miracle. We had the lights go out before the last game. We had a lot of things going against us, and we still came through it. Now with this year, with the new team, Ray Rice isn't performing. The line's not blocking. It's just a lot of different things. And then with Pitta being hurt, now him coming back, we're starting to, get it. We're not quite there yet, but this team is relatively healthy. And I'm fired up about that. But speaking of that, I didn't even see it because I was there live, but apparently we had a scare. Somebody tried to go low at Flacco and pretty much bent his knee, and he's been limited in practice with a brace all week. Luckily, there's a little swelling, but I don't think it's major enough for him to be sidelined or miss any time, thank God, because if he were to go down, I don't think we can be without the new general in Joe Flacco leading this team to victory. So, I really hope that's okay. It's really scary to see him with the medical staff involved and the brace. It's just, you never want to see that, especially with your investment in starting quarterback. The Patriots know what that's like because obviously Brady got hurt for a whole year and Manning was out for a whole season. So it's just, you never want to see it with these guys. Flacco's played every game. He started every game since he's been here. Again, you want to see him, be that next Iron Man, per se. Brett Favre holds that record in football. I mean, with baseball being big in Baltimore and Iron Man streak as it was, you like to see Joe Flacco, you know, create his own streak and be that tough guy. He's a warrior. And I don't care what anybody says, in the fourth quarter, he's a crunch time guy. And I really hope his knee's okay. And we've been monitoring that all week. I've been reading reports. He did have an MRI. It was negative. It's just a little swelling day to day. I think he'll be all right.
Yeah, hopefully he is. That was definitely scary. When that happened, I was like, man, not only does that does our season just go out the door, but look, there's this guy that was the MVP of the Super Bowl. He's our guy. We have crowned him the man of the team. And to see him kind of on the sidelines kind of shaking it off, I was happy to see that. I think the brace thing, him having a brace on in practice, is at least just precautionary. I'm thinking they're taking care of it. Of course, they're not going to let a guy who is worth that much money risk injuring himself even further. What I am worried about is games coming up, if people will target him lower. Of course, people can't chop out the knees without getting flagged or something, but hopefully they're not going, go after that leg, make sure you get him here, he's weak here. I don't want to see that in the next couple games. So hopefully Joe Flacco has the protection he needs, because we've seen little glimmers of hope from this offensive line where he is given time in that pocket. So hopefully these guys realize, oh man, if his leg's not 100%, even if it's at 95%, these guys are going to be going after it. Hopefully this offensive line can block for him, can get him settled, and let him do what he has to do and be the best quarterback that he can be. But yeah, I'm glad that the worst to come out of it is a little bit of swelling. I was really scared when I saw it on TV.
Right, and that brings up a key to the game this Sunday against the Patriots. It keeps Flacco upright because from what I saw in the film, you know, not that I broke down game film like the players do, but I've watched some replays, and I've seen some of the line play, and Marciano did a great job on Namdon too, and I'm really impressed with how they kept everybody in check and didn't have Flacco pressured on, like, because I was kind of worried about that because their front four and let alone the front seven are very, very good. And I was kind of worried that Flacco was going to be running for his life, which he wasn't really. And I was kind of impressed with that. And that's going to be the key to this one is, you know, especially with the injury, we'll monitor that. Can Flacco stay upright? And it's going to be weird because I don't know what the element's going to be. I mean, it's kind of weird. I don't know if you saw the weather, but you know it's supposed to be near 70 on Sunday?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a warm one.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then it's just, it's funny. We just played in the snow 2 weeks ago, and then we're coming back to Baltimore, and it's going to be, like, warm weather. Like, it's unbelievable. But, yeah, it's just, I don't know what to say about it. That's just crazy. But, yeah, the time change again, fans. They moved the game to 4:25 on Sunday to flex out our game at Sunday night because they're putting the Bears and Eagles on Sunday Night Football. I know a lot of fans are split. Some people are fine with it. Some people aren't because, obviously, the people going to the game, you know, hey, I don't have to be up, you know, that early. We can get back home and we can get a good night's rest. And a lot of people are like, hey, that's prime time. That was our slot. But it is in that flexible time of the schedule where that can be flexed out. And other teams were flexed out earlier in the years for their Sunday night games to allow other ones in there. So, I mean, that happens. And the reason being that the NFL is bigger than us. They control the markets. And obviously Philly and Chicago are a bigger market. And that's about as big a game as ours. But I mean, we're in little Baltimore, and they're up in Foxborough. I mean, those markets lose. So, again, that's the business end of the NFL. That's why the switch happened. But we're still in prime time, Sunday, 4:25. We're not at the early game. So, but we will know this. The Bengals' loss doesn't affect us, but the Chargers play at the same time. But let's see what happens. But we got to take care of our own business because, obviously, we win the next two, and we're talking division champs in a home playoff game in 3 weeks against these very same Bengals, believe it or not. I think how it's going to play out. Because if you look at the seeding, the seeds will reverse. Obviously, the NFL seeding, the 3 plays the 6, and the 5 plays the 4. Right now, the Bengals are 3 and we're 6. If we win a division, we flip-flop. So we would win the North champs. We would get the home playoff game. So Cincinnati will come here. So I think that bodes well for us. But first off, we have to play New England. And it's going to be a great – and it's almost like what better time. I never condone injury, but the injury to Gronkowski – this year was brand huge for us, brand spanking huge for us, because that was one of their big weapons, and Brady's been out without his weapons all year long. And, you know, with Walker going to Denver, Amendola's had an off year. I mean, I think the player to watch on offense is going to give us fits is Julian Edelman. The guy had a beast game last week, like 12 catches, 100 throw 30, 40 yards and a touchdown or two. So I think he's going to be the one to watch out for is this matchup for the defense. I was impressed with how the Ravens kept the receivers in check in Detroit. I know Calvin helped us out with some uncharacteristic drops. Maybe he is old. And how fitting was it that Matt Elam got the game-picking interception to seal the deal? Was kind of ironic on that. But I think for the most part, going from the Lions to the Patriots, they got to do the same job again and again and keep duplicating this to try to get the Super Bowl 48 in New York. Is you got to do a better job of covering these. The coverages were great. I saw a couple of times I was there live and I saw the communication. I've seen the secondary communicating that when I was noticing this, and we broke it down with a couple of friends of mine, we were talking about this. Even my pastor said something about how they were communicating, and if he had up over the top, he would let Calvin go. And I think that's why they could get a rhythm offensively. So going to the New England matchup, they can't let Brady get in the rhythm, because when he's on a rhythm, he's almost like clockwork, can't stop him. But when we can disrupt their clockwork like offense, and we can get pressure on him and make them deviate from the original game plan, I think it's going to build well for us. And obviously, this crowd I know is going to be revved up. I mean, late game, it's the last regular season game. We win two more and we're in. We can still clinch a playoff spot if we win and the Chargers and Dolphins both lose. But I'm not looking for scoreboard help. We need to just win outright, win the next two games, beat 10-6 again, and just move Mark on. So that's my biggest key to the game. Obviously, take care of the football is another one. But pretty much we need to neutralize their weapons and take in our hands a home field advantage while we have it and be 70,000 strong. And believe it or not, I'm going to touch on a couple of tidbits here because I know a lot of things are happening, but this week's been a crazy week. But believe it or not, I don't know if you saw this on Facebook, buddy, but do you know that you know Michelle Miller that sings the national anthem, right?
Right.
He's been the team's national anthem singer since 96. This home game is going to be his last regular season game, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if you saw that story, Brandon. You sound surprised.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
No, yeah, I saw it. See, Facebook, I'm telling you, social media helps me out, man. Because obviously I wouldn't know half my knowledge if it wasn't for that, but I checked it, and he's actually moving to Alabama. I don't know if it's a job opportunity or a family move, but I read the story, so I reposted it saying, let's give him the best O we can, and man, will I be emotional, because you know me with the national anthem. I mean, it was right here in Baltimore. What better place for it to just it. Yeah, I think it's going to be an emotional game. I mean, the win to get in, to beat the Patriots again for probably like the third straight time, we're pretty much, you know, we got them. Him singing it, we're going to give a big O. So I encourage any fans who are listening, be out there in your seats early, as I always am, because I like to see that place 70,000 strong during the national anthem at 4:15, and we send them out right and emotionally as well. And I think we're going to be charged up. And another tidbit that too is I heard Tuesday night got a little crazy here in the Baltimore area. I know you know this because I think they've seen you posted about it. But I heard the malls and the bars were mobbed on Tuesday.
On Tuesday, I don't remember seeing this. What happened on Tuesday?
Well, what happened on Tuesday, and obviously I couldn't come in time because of my flight. I didn't get into like almost 9 o'clock Tuesday night. But apparently, Justin Tucker was at White Marsh Ball signing autographs at AT&T from 5 to 6. They said fans were lined up there at 10 o'clock in the morning. Both levels were full.
Wow, yeah. Hopefully he got out of there safe and sound. But what I did see, I think you posted it as well, is that somebody actually brought a shot of the Lions sideline and actually had Justin Tucker sign that picture of them shocked that he actually made that touchdown, or not touchdown, that field goal, and he wrote 61 yards and then signed his name. So
yeah, how cool was that? I thought that was so awesome, man.
It was a good idea. Props to whoever brought that to the mall.
It is. And I did get my shot ordered, so I have a little screenshot of the game winner already signed and it's being ordered for me, so I have my own personal one. And I heard Nestor from WSD, he put out on Facebook, he had Jacoby Jones up at Buffalo Wild Wings in Bel Air, and he said probably one of the biggest crowds ever. He said that place was mobbed. So obviously, with the playoff push, Ravens fever, as we're getting closer, I mean, every game is bigger and bigger. I mean, we come out in droves, and it was great to see. Obviously, remember how last year's playoff run through the billboards around Baltimore was clever with the Ray Lewis retirement and not yet and one more game and we'll see in New Orleans. Well, I remember seeing on Facebook after the game you know, Legatron nickname walking around there on Facebook because of, you know, we beat Megatron and Tuck Yeah and Mother Tucker and everything, all the nicknames and the cliches there. Well, it's funny because Mega Millions ended up hitting. Well, it was funny because I posted the original idea. Why don't we play Justin Tucker's field goal numbers on the Mega Millions? And another interesting stat is he hit a 29 and then a 24. If you inverted those two, he would have had in a row 24, 29, and then went all the way up to 61. They were almost in numerical order. But what I found funny was the billboards, when I got back to Baltimore after I got out of the airport and driving home, they had his numbers on the screen, and I saw 61 yards, I saw Legatron. It's just this town gets creative, and there's already shirts out with Tucker's face on it saying, "I got it." So I think whatever little thing happens with the Ravens, whether it's hey-diddle-diddle, Ray Ray's up the middle, whether it's, you know, "I got it," there's, you know, Justin Tucker's already got a shirt out saying, "I got it." So, I mean, you know, it's just great to see the confidence in our team, and we're going to carry that to Sunday, 425 New England. Charm City is the site, our home finale, regular season finale, but my heart of hearts tells me that I think we're going to have another home game in the playoffs, and we win the next two in a row, we will get to that destination as the back-to-back AFC North champions, and it starts. Got to start on Sunday, guys. We got to beat the Patriots, and it's going to be a test.
Absolutely. I really do think, like you said, you got to protect the ball. Brady, I feel like, you know, he does have one or two receivers he can count on, but I feel like even though Brady is one of the best quarterbacks in the world, he's got to be surrounded by the right kind of people, and I feel like he definitely, we talked about it all the time, that he lost all his receivers this past year, but hopefully everybody knows what they're supposed to do at this next game. I think this is really going to weigh heavily on Terrell Suggs and Elvis Dumervil. I think those two guys, and even guys like Nada and Art Jones, those guys are going to have a huge job on Sunday. I really think that they need to get to him quick. They can't give him time to throw the ball. The secondary has to make sure everybody's covered. They gotta work those routes like they're supposed to. But really, it's about getting to Brady, and Brady needs to be shut down as quickly as possible. If he can't throw that ball, then they're not scoring touchdowns.
I agree, man. I mean, it's just going to be a big test. And it's good to see Dumervil on the field on Monday, I should say. But him and Suggs, they've been, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm calling them out, they've been slacking a little bit. So I think the pass rush needs to be there. And Ball Star University and company to step up the game. I haven't seen that wrecking havoc in the pass rush as of lately. So I think that's another thing that we need to step up on the team here. And needs to be addressed. I mean, I don't know if it's just, you know, they're just not making the plays, or the other team's just good at blocking or their schemes, but they've been relatively quiet. And it's been uncharacteristically for those two guys. Obviously, Dumervil and Suggs are known for sacking the quarterback. But we'll see what happens. I mean, if they can get to him and if they get to Brady on Sunday, it'd be great pressure, and it'd be another part of the game plan to execute.
Absolutely, and we already talked about it in the Detroit game, but on the offensive end, we talked about where the running game needs to be and where it is now, so I feel like that's kind of a broken record, but we talked about it in Detroit. The big thing with the offense is you got to finish drives, especially up against the Patriots. The Patriots will fight you tooth and nail till the end, and it's going to be just a simple mistake like an interception that's going to change the whole face of the game. But these guys, they get the ball, Flacco's got the ball, they need to protect him, and everybody has to be open. You know, Pitta, Marlon Brown, Jacoby Jones, Torrey Smith, you guys got to get open for Flacco to be able to throw to you, because up against the Patriots, man, it's going to be a definite test for these guys. But this is what you got to do. You got to finish those drives. Justin Tucker did a great job in Detroit. If we rely completely on Justin Tucker against the Patriots, I don't see the Ravens coming out with a win. I think touchdowns here are key. Joe Flacco is going to be key on the offense, because this is going to be a game where I think it's going to be a pretty high score, because these two teams, they have a rivalry not as bad as Ravens-Steelers, but still a pretty big rivalry. It's a game I always look forward to in the year, but you got to finish those drives. Touchdowns are going to win this game, especially if you're shutting down Brady the way that Suggs and Dumervil should be.
That's right. I agree. And if we put all those keys together in the right place, I think everything's going to fit for Ravens' win on Sunday.
Absolutely. That's what I want to hear. So it's been a pretty long show already. So did we miss anything talking about these two games?
I don't think so. I mean, I told you it was going to be a jam-packed show. But no, I think not a chance, man. Not a chance.
All right, so before we wrap things up, we're going to, of course, do our Ravens tailgate song of the week. This is an honor, not going to lie. This is a true honor. I'm very, very happy to do this. It is the holiday season. Christmas is next week. It is right around the corner. And we, of course, are Baltimore Ravens fans from Baltimore. So it just wouldn't be Christmas if the Ravens tailgate song of the week this week wasn't Crabs for Christmas by David DuBois and Da Huns. We were able to contact these guys. David DuBois said he would be more than happy to have the song played on air. So thank you. Thank you very much, David, for allowing us to play this song because every Christmas rolls around. This is the song that every Baltimore person is trying to find, trying to play on the radio, and they have to hear it before the season's over. So everybody, the Ravens tailgate song of the week this week, Crabs for Christmas by David DuBois and Da Huns. Turn it up.
In a department store north of Houston sat a Santa Claus on Christmas Eve. In a minute he knows the front door will close and this tired old Santa can pack up and leave. But a big fella came out of nowhere and he sat right down on Santa's knee. Well, the whole place stopped dead as the big fella said, "Dear Santa, I appreciate you listening to me." And he said, "Oh, I want crabs for Christmas. Oh, only crabs will do. Oh, ho with crabs for Christmas. My Christmas wish will come true." That Santa, he started perspiring, and it looked like he might be in pain, and his face got all stiff as he asked the man if he would take just a moment and kindly explain. Well, the man said, "You know, I'm from Maryland, and them crabs is what I'm itching for. Don't you know, Santa dear, with steamed crabs and a beer, it would be like a trip back to old Baltimore. Baltimore. Oh, I want crabs for Christmas. Oh, only crabs will do. Oh, ho with crabs for Christmas. My Christmas wish will come true." Round the corner came two big policemen, and they saw that man on Santa's lap. Well, they reached for his throat and his bowling league coat, and they picked him up, losing his Oreo cap. Santa cried, "Put him down right this instant. Now, my boy, what you want's not so odd. But there's no crabs till May, so we'll hop on my sleigh and we'll fly to New England and I'll get you scrod."
No, not scrod.
Oh, I want crabs for Christmas. Oh, only crabs will do. Oh, kill me crabs for Christmas. My Christmas wish will come true.
You know, that's my Christmas whistle.
My Christmas whistle come true.
All right, everybody. If you don't know that song, you're not from Baltimore. That was Crabs for Christmas by David DuBois and Da Huns. That song is available for download on Amazon and iTunes. Make sure you go out and get that song because it just isn't Christmas without Crabs for Christmas. And I'm a little bit hungry now for crabs, but I guess we're just going to have to wait till May like the song says. So that's pretty much it for the call this week. Everybody have a great holiday season. Have a great Christmas next week. Josh, you have a great Christmas. But hey, if you want to talk football, you want to talk about it on Sunday, hopefully the Ravens bring us a early Christmas gift with a Ravens win on Sunday. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash, and Josh, he's on Twitter as well. Where can people follow you?
They can follow me at ItalianGQ52.
That's right. Now, make sure you go over to Facebook, facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like the Brando Cash Network over there. You get information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. You can also go to facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Whenever there's a new show coming out, we will let you know. You'll be the first to know on Facebook through that website, and that's the best way to contact us as well. This show is available on iTunes and Stitcher. Make sure you tell your friends. It does not matter whether or not they have an Apple or an Android device. You download a podcast app, we will be available on there. If you're at work and you're bored and you're at a desktop, go to thecall.brandocash.com. You can listen to old shows, maybe even our Super Bowl show from last season. Now, we give you this show completely for free, so the best thing to do to help us out is spread the word about The Call and be social with the show on the web. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Vine and Instagram and Reddit. Let them know that you are a Baltimore Ravens fan, that you like The Call, you listen to The Call for free, and that they should too. So that's pretty much it for The Call this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
I definitely take us out, Brandon, to all. Hopefully you enjoyed that Crabs for Christmas. I know it's always a good song of mine, Baltimore Treat, and I always joke and say, no, I don't want my all I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. I don't want those, and I definitely don't want no hippopotamus for Christmas, but you know what I'll take two things right now. I'll take some crabs, and I'm going to take not only a Ravens win, but I'll take a Festivus Ravens Christmas season. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, everybody. It's going to be a fun atmosphere on Sunday. Sending our very own Michelle Miller out on style, singing the national anthem, giving them a rocking O, sending the Ravens out with a home finale, a win, a playoff push win. Man, it's going to be great. I can't wait to see this team, purple and black, Sunday, 4:25 p.m. You can catch game on CBS, obviously, if you're not at the bank. But, guys, it's been great. We're already down to two games left in the season. I appreciate everybody listening and Brandon, especially all his hard work. We got to do it, guys. We have to be there strong, 70,000-plus Ravens Nation. We got it. We have to give it to New England. We have to let them know that we're there, and we're not letting them leave. We're going to let them leave. Better. They're not leaving out here with victory, because victory will be ours. And like Ray Lewis has always said, no weapon, and I think this is it. This is the test. Ravens. Can we do it? Yes, we can. We always believe. Merry Christmas, everybody. 1, 2, 3, Ravens. Fly high.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.